taste more.
I am so glad that you are here with me today and that you have taken the time to be with me at my house from my dining room table, which is quite a mess right now, actually. My accountant came over yesterday and I had a massive stack of papers that I think actually even frightened him, which is saying a lot because he knows what to do with everything. So just know it's not as tidy as it could be, but hey, real life, and we are actually going to talk some very real life today because we are going to be looking at two of the virtues that Paul mentions in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. I am so excited because all of these virtues have to do with our relationships. They have to do with on-the-ground real life. And so there's only one way to treat these virtues, and that is with honesty and transparency. So I'm going to be really honest with you about the ways that I've wrestled with these, but also how God is so faithful to ground us in the truth of the gospel. We cannot live these virtues apart from being grounded in the blessing and the gift of the gospel. So if you happen to miss last week's episode, which was episode 22, I want to invite you to go back and start there because that is where we get the foundation. In Colossians 3:12, Paul begins by saying, "Therefore, because you are chosen, holy, and dearly loved, put on the virtues." Now, just by way of review, and we went into this in depth last week, but I had gotten that backwards for the vast majority of my life. I thought that if I put on the virtues, if I tried to go be compassionate, patient, kind, humble, gentle, then God would choose me. He would make me more holy and he would love me more. Now, theologically, I knew that that wasn't true. But in my practice, that was kind of how I lived. But we looked last week at three words, three vital truths to our Christian faith. And that is the fact that if we are in Jesus Christ, we are chosen, holy, and dearly loved. And it is only from that premise, from that foundation, that we can live out these virtues, that we can be the types of people that God says that we are. So that's a really crucial episode. So I would invite you to go back to episode 22. That will set the groundwork. But today we are starting in this very practical place of showing, and we're going to look at two virtues today, compassion and kindness, okay? Compassion and kindness. And remember, all of these virtues have to do with people. They have to do with our relationships. So when we get this, it's going to affect everything and everyone around us. Now, I have to say that I have struggled with these because I just need a lot of help. I'm always saying, like, I need the Lord, okay? I just really need him so much. And I got a picture of this. This was when my nephew, Will, and my niece, Harper, when they were pretty young, and I mean, they're still young, but they were like 5 and 4. And they were over playing this game at my house. It was this game called Penguins, and it was like this matching game. And anyway, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast or not, but my niece, Harper, I don't know how she does it. She just crushes you in games. If there's strategy, she will beat you with her mind. If there's no strategy, she'll just beat you with luck. I don't know how she does it, but she is just a game winner. And this particular day was no exception. And she was beating me. She was beating Will in this game. And Will is just kind. I mean, he is just truly just God created this kind boy. It just his nature. He's just so, so sweet. And he was sitting there in this game and Harper would win and Will's parents had kind of taught him, you know, this is what you say when you lose. This is how you respond. They were teaching him how to be a gracious loser, like, you know, how to lose with grace maybe is the better way to put it. And so Harper would win and Will would say, good job, Harper. Way to go. Really good job. I mean, you won and I lost. I mean, like this otherworldly kind of kindness, right? So we get like 3 or 4 wins down the road. Harper's just winning nonstop. And finally, Will, he just goes, Harper, I'm not going to say good job again. Basically, he was signaling like, I'm out, okay? I have hit my own capacity of kindness. Like, I have hit a ceiling of kindness. I can go no further. And I find that when we're about to read this passage, but what Paul calls us to, eventually we will figure out is impossible. We will eventually reach a ceiling with these virtues if we're not living them out of the gift of being chosen, holy, and dearly loved. And so I want to start with this verse in Colossians 3:12, and then we're going to unpack two virtues today. And I hope that these will be such a blessing to you. Verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Again, we're just going to look at those first two today. And also, by the way, I just want to throw this out at the top because I'm afraid I'll forget, but I wrote a book on this called The Fitting Room, Putting on the Character of Christ, and it really unpacks this passage for us. And if you would like to pick up that book, we've got a special code for you, and all you have to do is just go to kellymitchell.com, and there, when you're checking out that particular book, all you have to do is put in the code, Cultivate the Virtues. Cultivate the Virtues, and it'll give you a 25% off discount, and that's just for our Cultivate listeners. So if that's something that would be helpful, have at that. But I want to get into this compassion, this very first word, compassion. This word is the Greek word oikteirmos, and it actually means bowels of mercy. Okay, we don't talk about bowels very much unless it's like something to do with us being in the doctors or at the doctors or something like that. But in ancient Jewish culture, the bowels was the place where you felt. It was the seat of emotions. We talk about the heart, but for them, that's where they felt. And so this word, it's a very visceral word. It can mean tender mercies, emotions, and longings. We're to feel this for other people. It's a very felt word. It can also mean pity or compassion for the ills of others. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, did we already talk about this in early on in the podcast? And the answer is yes. If you were with us for episode 6, we took one single episode on this entire verse, and we blazed through the virtues. We blazed through what it means to be chosen, holy, and dearly loved. And several of you reached out over social media and said, we would love to go deeper into each of these virtues because this is so practical and so necessary. And so if any of this is ringing a bell, we've touched on it, but I'm glad you're here because we're going to really go deeper into each of these. The first thing I want you to know about this virtue of compassion, and really all of these virtues, is Paul does not call us to be anything that Jesus Christ is not. In other words, he does not call us to wear any virtues that Jesus Christ doesn't wear himself. These virtues, Jesus embodies these virtues, and we're going to see these virtues play out in him first, and that gives us a picture of how we are to display them to others. And so I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And this is how Paul begins his letter. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. That word mercies is that same word, compassion, oikteirmos. It's that word. So the Father of mercies or compassion, and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We see here that God is actually the Father of this type of compassion. Think about that. To be the father of something is to be the source of it. God is the source of this kind of compassion. He feels for us. There is a compassion that runs so deeply for us. And we see this also in the person of Jesus Christ. This is a slightly different word, but if you were to go over to Matthew's gospel in chapter 9, verse 36, Matthew writes that when Jesus saw the crowds that were sick, they were harassed, they were dejected, they were oppressed, and they were like sheep without a shepherd, without a leader. It says that Matthew writes that Jesus had compassion. He had this compassion for the people. So we know that Jesus is compassionate, and we know that his Father is the Father of this kind of compassion. And this is what we are to show to others. Now, I remember recently being in the Amazon, and I think I've mentioned this before, but because of COVID, there was just a terrible strain of COVID that went through the Amazon, and our staff with Justice and Mercy International, which for those of you who are new to the podcast, I do a lot of work with Justice and Mercy International in the Amazon and also in the Eastern European country of Moldova. But especially in the Amazon, COVID just ravaged the city of Manaus, and many of our staff members lost loved ones. One of our young, dear friends are actually the president of our board over there. He lost his life to COVID, and I had the opportunity to be with his girls just a few weeks ago, his young girls, and his wife. Another one of our dear friends on staff, she lost both of our parents to COVID within just a few weeks of one another. We had staff members lose siblings and parents. So difficult. And it was really interesting to go and just be with our friends there, to be with our staff there in the Amazon. And that's why we went just a few weeks ago, just a few of us went. And it was interesting because one of my friends who lost both of her parents, the one who lost both in just a few weeks' time, at the end of our trip, she said, you know, you could have sent a counselor, you could have sent us away, like on just a retreat or on a vacation. But she said, you came and you were present. And that was what made such a difference. And I think that when it comes to compassion, part of it is its presence with people. It's listening to where people are. It's being present in the moment. It's crying with those who cry. It's weeping with those who weep. It's lamenting with those who lament and feeling with them. There were so many times where I didn't have anything to say. I didn't have a lot of words. There wasn't a lot that could be said other than to offer this comfort that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4, to offer this comfort that spills over, that God has given us, that we give to others. And I was just thinking about this type of compassion when it comes to the fact that Paul mentions this first. He mentions this first when he talks about what we are to wear. Remember, he talks about these virtues as if they're clothing. You know, as if it's a t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants and a hoodie. You can tell what I've been wearing for the last 15 months as I've been working more from home. But for compassion to be the very first thing, can you imagine how we would be to the people around us if compassion was the very first virtue that they greeted in us? Isn't that beautiful? To me, it's not one of those virtues that's real snazzy, like, look at me, look what I can do. We'll get to some of those that are more action-oriented. But this is like when you're there with people, you care. You have stopped to be with them in their grief. This is beautiful. This is such a beautiful picture. And I believe, too, without a doubt, that we can ask the Lord to give us more compassion for people. And I will say this, too. A lot of times, there have been people that have been so difficult for me, and they've been so difficult for me to love. And I mean, whether it's their personality or they're sarcastic or they're constantly negative or they're gossipy or judgmental or whatever it might be. And I just think, gosh, I'm having the hardest time loving this person. I'm having the hardest time being kind to this person. And then the Lord will give me some window into their lives. Maybe it was a childhood wound, or it's something that they went through in a marriage, or it's a loss. I get some sort of a crack, some sort of a window into their lives. And suddenly, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, He fills me with compassion for that person. I'll give you an example, a little bit more of an example of this as we go in a few minutes, but I just want us to be thinking about who can we show this kind of compassion for? And remember, this is not something that we drum up ourselves. We already saw from 2 Corinthians that God the Father, He is the source of this type of compassion. And so we want to draw it from Him. We want to ask Him to give us compassion for those around us. I love that passage in Matthew 9 where Jesus comes across the crowds and He just sees how oppressed and hurting they are and He aches for them. And He actually doesn't just stop with His aching. He actually turns to His disciples and now us and says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send out laborers into His harvest because I have such compassion for these people. And it's going to be the church that is going to be the expression of my compassion. And that is you and that is me. So this is such an important virtue that we really need to pay attention to in our lives. Okay, I want to look at the second virtue of kindness. So Paul begins with compassion, then he moves into kindness. This particular word often means goodness. In fact, your Bible version might even say that. Moral goodness. And what I love here is goodness in action. This is an active word. This is not just like, oh, that person was really nice. No, this is someone who actively demonstrates God's love in very specific deeds. Again, I'm going to remind you that Paul never calls us to be something that Jesus Christ Himself is not. So I want to look briefly at Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And again, we read this in episode 6, but it is so worth repeating. So this is Titus 3, 3 through 5. And this is what he writes. For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Okay, did you see all of those descriptions that Paul used? I mean, being foolish and disobedient, deceived. But then it says when the kindness of God appeared. Now, that's not just like, oh, the niceness of God. Or, oh, isn't it great that, you know, God just kind of turned a blind eye to all of that. No, the kindness of God comes when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for us appeared. That is the work of Jesus Christ. While we were sinners, that kindness was demonstrated. And so we see that kindness is often undeserved. I don't know if you're like me, but I love to be kind to the people I love. I mean, if I like you, I love to be kind to you. Like one of my friends and incredible Bible teachers, she was teaching last night and recording for a new study. And I was on my way down there and I stopped to get her a gift because I like her. Like, she's awesome. So I want to give her a gift. That's very easy for me to show her kindness because it's easy for us to love those we love. It's harder to show that kind of kindness when it is undeserved. But that is a lot of what this goodness is. Often, kindness is showing tangible acts of goodness to the hurting, the powerless, even our enemies. I want to talk about just an example in the Old Testament too, and this is not Jesus. Obviously, this is way back in 2 Samuel chapter 9. You can read about this in verses 3 through 8. But David, King David at this point, King Saul has died. So has his son Jonathan, who was David's best friend. And at one point, David, in all of his power and wealth and influence, he's looking around and he calls one of his servants and says, look, is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I can show kindness to? Like someone attached to Jonathan that I can show kindness to? And they said, yes, there is one of Jonathan's sons, Mephibosheth. He's lame in both feet. You could show kindness to him. And David has Mephibosheth brought to his table. And he restores the land that Saul had once had to Mephibosheth, and he gives him a place at his table. It's unbelievable, beautiful, undeserved kindness. We see this also a call from Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, where he calls to us and tells us to let our light so shine before the people around us so that they will actually see our good works and give glory to God the Father, not glory to us, but glory to God. And so this kindness is supposed to be tangible. We should be doing things for people. I know for myself that, you know, when I get a check in the mail, typically I like to get it into the bank, like quick, right? I get the check, I'm like, I want that thing in the bank. Or if there is a sale, I want to make sure I capitalize on that sale. I'm not going to let midnight hit before like that big Amazon sale is over. When it comes to showing kindness or maybe writing a check to someone who needs it or to my church, that tends to move slower for me. You know, that check might sit on the table or I might think, well, I'll get around to that tomorrow. But this kindness, we have got to move on this. This is so critical to who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you a story about this from a long time ago. And this, again, will just be an honest, transparent window into my own life and how I often struggle with these virtues, but how the Lord just continues to teach me about his own kindness toward me. And I will just say that too, that when we're struggling to show kindness, goodness in action to others, typically it's because we've moved away from our understanding and thankfulness for the kindness and the goodness that Christ has shown us. But this was years and years ago, and I was living in this condo, and there were water issues in the condo. And if you have ever had water issues in your home, you know it is just a nightmare. And everyone that comes in that tries to figure it out, they will all tell you water follows the path of least resistance. And if I heard that once, I heard that 100 times. I will never forget it. Did that really help me? Not really, but at least I know that it follows the path of least resistance. But when you have water issues in your house, it is so hard because you don't know where it's coming from. And then half the time when you find out where it's coming from, it's super expensive to make it stop. Well, this situation, I was having mysterious water coming up from the ground. It was in the corners of the house sometimes. It definitely had to do with rain, but it was in different places at different times. It just made no sense. And the only way we were going to be able to tell where this water was entering was for me to have someone pull back the drywall. Well, because I was part of a condo, the association was supposed to pay for that. But there was this woman, and I will not say her name, but she was the president of this condo. And she was mean, and she was ornery, she was a stickler, and she did not want to pay for me to pull these walls back, the drywall back. And I had no money at the time. I mean, I had no money to pay for this. And I was losing my mind. And every time we would have a meeting, I would go to the meeting. I would try to be really, I'd pray. I'd try to be really kind. I mean, I tried everything. And she was just nasty. And she would not pay for this or not allow the association to pay for this so we could figure out how I could get this fixed. And I was losing it. I mean, I was so mad at these meetings because I thought, this is my house and I can't even, you're standing in the way of me getting this fixed. Well, I remember this one meeting in particular, my friend was there with me. It didn't go well. Everybody left and I was about to get into the car with my friend to go home. And I mean, I was hot. I was hot. And I, as clear as I know the Holy Spirit in my life, he said, I want you to bring that woman flowers. And I just was like, Lord, I just can't. I'm sorry. I cannot show that kind of goodness in action. I mean, it was like, Will, like, I cannot say good job again. I cannot bring flowers to this woman's house. Well, I told my friend what the Lord was impressing upon my heart. And she said, great. You go do that. I'll be back here in 20 minutes to pick you up. Like, she was like going to send me on my way. So I got these flowers. I was walking up the steps toward her condo And again, the whole way there, I was like, Lord, I am fuming. This is the last thing I want to do. And I knocked on the door. She opened the door. I was holding these flowers and I said, you know what? I know this has been a hard season for you. And she had gone through cancer. She was like on the other side of it, but it had been really, really hard. And do you know that the second I handed her those flowers, she began to talk about the hard time she had been through with the cancer, and her eyes teared up and my eyes teared up. It was the weirdest thing. It was like this compassion flooded me and the kindness. It was like all of it kind of was interacting together, both the compassion, the feeling for her, but also the action of the goodness that the Lord had told me to do. Believe me, I didn't come up with this on my own. And we just had this moment. And it was like there was kind of this reconciliation. Now, I don't remember how long after the fact. I've blocked a lot of this out of my mind because it was so harrowing. Eventually, she agreed for us to pull that wall back. I don't even remember what the problem was. I do remember that moment, and I will never forget it. The Lord gave me compassion I didn't have, and He gave me an idea for this kindness that I didn't want to do. But the Holy Spirit filled that moment, and something happened. Something changed. We talked last week about the fact that we have been set apart. That's part of what it means to be made holy. We have been set apart, and we will look different. Again, I can't stress this enough, not because it's in us, but because this is what Jesus Christ has called us to, and He has enabled us to live this way because this is who He is and who He claims that we are in Him. So how do we cultivate this in our lives today as we think about these two virtues of compassion and kindness? Well, when it comes to compassion, I would say reflect on the compassion of Christ in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4, and in Matthew 9, 36. These references are always in the show notes, kellymentor.com/podcast. You can find all of this information. But I'd reflect on the compassion of Christ. And then I would think about who you need to have compassion for that you don't at the moment, and ask the Lord to give you compassion. Take some time with Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Look at that whole passage and just look at the kindness that God displayed in Jesus Christ while we were still sinners. Maybe go back to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and read about David's kindness to Mephibosheth. Think of some practical ways that you can put this into action. Again, when it comes to compassion, it might just be sitting with someone. It might just be listening. When it comes to kindness, it might be doing something specific for that person. What an awesome time this has been. I hope that this has been encouraging for you. All of these episodes are going to be kind of like this. We're going to look at scripture. We're going to look at how Christ embodies the virtues. And I'm going to do my best to be honest with you about some of my own experiences with putting these into practice. So if you have enjoyed these, I would encourage you to leave a review, write a review where you listen to this podcast so it will encourage others to listen. Feel free to share it. Make sure you're visiting accessmore.com. Lots of great podcasts there, and you can subscribe to the Cultivate podcast there so that you never miss an episode. I would also just encourage you to go back and listen to any of these episodes that you've missed, because we're doing a lot of series. We've been in the life of Jesus. We have been in the book of Nehemiah. And these are opportunities for you to go back and listen. It's pretty evergreen material, so you can get in the Word if that would be helpful to you. I'm looking so forward to seeing you for next week's Cultivate episode as we look at the next two virtues of humility and gentleness. These are two big ones, and you are not going to want to miss it. So I will see you next week for the Cultivate podcast.